Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When believers know what God wants them to do, but refuse to do it, they often find creative excuses for their refusal. That's what Moses did until God graciously overcame his objections and lame excuses. The bottom line, we must ultimately obey God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, Moses said he was not eloquent. Is this ever an issue for preachers?
Well, Dave, in answer to your question, I would say yes, it is, because if God calls you, you should be able to speak. If he calls you to speak, then you should be able to speak. But Moses' objection was overruled when God said, I'm going to send Aaron, and he's going to be your mouthpiece. But one of the most incredible verses in all the Bible occurs in this context. It takes my breath away. God says, who has made man's mouth, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? God is sovereign even over our gifting. You know, there are so many lessons that we need to learn from the life of Moses, and I've written a book entitled Getting Closer to God, Lessons from the Life of Moses. I really do believe that you will profit from this book in this sense, that as you read these stories, and of course they're directly from Scripture, you'll see how God worked in Moses' life, and you'll know that the same God works in our lives as well. For a gift of any amount, this book can be yours. You go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Ask for the book, Getting Closer to God. Call us at 1-888-218-9337. And now let us hear how God continued to work in the life of Moses. Chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses answered, behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Now, this is very interesting. It says in chapter 3, verse 18, God says, they will listen to your voice. Now Moses is saying, they won't listen to my voice. Do you see the disconnect? God is saying one thing and Moses is saying another. And I think Moses has it all wrong because he thinks that he is going to be the deliverer. He doesn't understand that God is the deliverer and he only is the instrument that God is going to use. It is God who is going to bring the deliverance. It's God that does it. Because when God calls you and me, he actually doesn't call us to a work, to a vocation, to a ministry. He always calls us to himself first. It's a calling to God. And God says, well, if they won't believe you, I'll give you some signs. Throw down your staff and it'll become a serpent. Put your hand in your shirt and it will become leprous. Take the water of the Nile, pour it onto the ground, and it's going to turn into blood. And so you are going to be given all of these signs, and you're going to be able to outdo the magicians of Egypt. And we're going to be studying that because that's fascinating, that these magicians of Egypt were able to do as much as Moses in some instances until they got to a certain point where they could not keep up with him. But God says, I'm going to give you signs. Because Moses, I want you to know that I am the God of men who have failed. I am the God who are of those who are in the desert. I'm the God of those who don't want to go back to their original calling. Isn't it amazing? We make God Lord of all. We say Jesus is Lord of all, except that he's not Lord of the desert. If you're in a desert today, you say, Jesus isn't Lord here. Yes, he's Lord of the desert. So Moses, you go back and I'll give you these signs. We think that by now for certain he would say, of course, Lord, I'll go. So God is saying go and Moses is saying no because his objection actually is deeper. So there's a fourth one. He says, Lord, I don't have any natural talent.
chapter 4, verse 10. You'll notice that the text says, chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am of slow speech and of tongue." The idea is he has an impediment. Maybe he stuttered. So Moses says, I'm not qualified. And he begins to visualize what it would be like going to Pharaoh. Imagine going down those long colonnades that he was acquainted with as a boy when he lived in the palace. And you walk all the way down, you finally have an audience with Pharaoh, you're standing in front of him with all of his advisors around him, and you open your mouth and nothing comes out. And everybody says, "Speak, Moses, it's time for you to talk." And all that he can do is to stutter and to stammer, and the words aren't coming out. And you can imagine the ridicule and the rejection and the fun that would be made of somebody who was in a position of such incredible embarrassment. So he says, "I'm not a speaker. Find somebody who can talk." Aren't you startled with the Lord's answer to Moses? The Lord says, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Moses, if I had wanted you to be eloquent, I would have created you eloquent. If I had wanted you to be brilliant in other areas, I would have made you brilliant in other areas. Could I just speak to you heart to heart? Are you content with the way in which God made you? When you look into the mirror, are you content with the raw material that God gave you to work with? Is it okay with you that you're not one of the beautiful people? Is it okay with you that you're not as good looking, that you're not as talented as somebody else, because you know who has made man's mouth, who makes someone mute, and who gives someone the ability to speak but God? Those of us who are in public ministry, I have to confess to you that oftentimes we struggle in comparing ourselves with others. I remember as a young minister, I'd hear somebody speak like Evie Hill, and I'd say to myself, after hearing Evie Hill, I'm never going to preach another sermon again. Makes me want to go back to the farm and start up the old John Deere and do something else. What a gift. And then I have to say, as I look in the mirror, God, you created me this way. If you had wanted me to have that kind of eloquence, you'd have given it to me. I'm content with who I am. And the older I am, the more content I am with who I am. Did that come out right? You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to be anybody else. The real issue is whether or not the self-existent eternal God has called me. That's really the issue. And he gives us a certain amount of talent to work with. Are you envious because God has been so generous to others in their eloquence, in their beauty, in their abilities? God says, "Moses, I created you with that impediment. Get over it." Well, you'd think that at this point Moses would say, "Of course I'm going." But no, he has a deeper objection, and we finally get to the heart of what's troubling Moses. Moses finally says, "All right, I don't want to go." Verse 13 of chapter 4, he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. I just don't want to go. I've got a wife and children. I hate Midian. I hate the desert. But if I go to Egypt, there'll be risk involved. There's the possibility that I could fail. If I fail here in the desert, nobody knows about it. Nobody knows whether I'm a good shepherd or a bad shepherd because I'm living here in obscurity and isolation. But if I go back to Egypt, I will fail big time and I'll be on the front page of the Egyptian newspaper. Everyone will know about it, and I'm not interested in that kind of risk." Moses digs in his heels and he stands there on holy ground arguing with God, and God says, "Go," and Moses is saying, "No." How do you feel? God may be calling some of you to a new ministry. God may be taking you out of your nest, out of your sense of security, because the desert may be bad, but at least you know the desert. And God may be speaking to you about ministry opportunities. Someone will ask you to teach Sunday school, and you'll say, "Who am I? I don't know enough. And furthermore, I just don't want to do it." Think for a moment of what Moses would have missed if he had said no. He'd have missed being there when the Egyptian gods were humiliated. What an experience that is, and we're going to touch on that briefly sometime, when against all the gods of Egypt, judgment came. How humiliating it was for those gods, and the God Jehovah triumphed, and Moses was there to see the whole thing. He would have missed the crossing of the Red Sea. He would have missed 40 days of uninterrupted fellowship on Mount Sinai in the presence of God. It says that Moses spoke face to face to God like a man speaks with his friends, and he was up there 40 days, and when he came back, his face was glowing. He'd have missed all that. He would have missed coming later on into the land and appearing on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is where Peter, James, and John and Elijah also was. Moses would not have shown up on that mountain if he had continued to say no to God. Think of what he would have missed. There are some of you whom God is pressing out of your comfortable nest. He is exuding you. He is pushing you. He is encouraging you. He is calling you. And it is possible that you and I will miss some great things because we will, like a mule, simply say no. So what is your excuse? Someone has said that an excuse is the skin of a reason, but it's stuffed with a lie. That's what an excuse is. I remember Nancy Reagan saying that her father, at about the age of 12, if I remember correctly, memorized some verses in Sunday school for a free Bible. And he didn't get a free Bible, but the pastor's son did, even though the pastor's son didn't know the verses as well. And so this boy perceived that he had been delivered an injustice and never attended church again. How do you think an excuse like that will wash in the presence of the Almighty? When he stands before God, will God say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I remember that at the age of 12, you had that injustice, and I guess that justified neglecting me and investigating what my son came to earth for, and I guess that's reason for you to have done what you've done." You notice what the text says regarding God in verse 14 of chapter 4? After Moses gave these five excuses, "Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses." God says, "I'm not amused. I'm not amused that you would have the nerve to not go when I call. I'm angry." You think that God is going to accept those excuses? Do you think God is going to accept the excuses of Christians who all of their lives refuse to become involved? They have pulled down the shutters. They have closed the windows. They have isolated themselves in their own little world because they were hurt years ago and they refuse to get over that hurt. And they simply hold onto it and say, "God, I don't care what you want me to do. The answer is no. I've been hurt. Like Moses was hurt 40 years earlier. I won't go." May I suggest to you that when we excuse ourselves, we accuse ourselves. God is asking us to be led out of the desert. God is asking us to come to Him in simple faith. Some of you are believers and you're saying no to God for various reasons, and others of you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you're saying no because of a host of reasons. I want you to know today that those excuses will not work in God's presence. And I need to remind you that in the New Testament, Jesus Christ referred to himself as the I Am. He is the self-existent, infinite God. The same God that revealed himself to Moses when any old bush would be able to do and to burn under the inspiration, the direction, and the power of God. That is the very same God. And Jesus invites you and me to him today for forgiveness, for reconciliation, to make our peace with God. But it's possible that somebody here today is saying, no, no. Back in 1952, Queen Elizabeth was crowned Queen of England. Now, I was very, very young at that time, but I still do remember it. There was lots of talk about the coronation. All those who were invited to the coronation were given beautiful invitations. I didn't receive one, but other people received beautiful invitations, particularly if they were part of the royal bloodline. And in that invitation, after giving all the details, it said this, quote, all excuses set apart. The whole idea is that it was unthinkable that somebody would have an excuse not to attend. It was saying, in effect, excuses, thank you, unacceptable. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, calls us to ministry within the church, calls us to lead small groups, calls us maybe to usher, calls us to responsibilities of teaching. And it's possible for you and me to stand there and to say, because I've been hurt, because of the past, because I'm not gifted, the answer is no. We should come to God today, all excuses set apart. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, today we want to thank you that in your grace you did overcome the rebellion of Moses. We thank you that he went. We know that he's grateful that he went. And we pray that you might help us to obey you in everything that you reveal to us, to give up all excuses, all rationalizations, and in your presence simply say, yes, Lord, your servant hears. Lord, I am willing. I am willing to receive what you give. I'm willing to lack what you withhold. I'm willing to relinquish what you take. I'm willing to suffer what you require. I am willing, Lord. If God's talked to you, you talk to him right now. Father, do your work in our hearts. Whatever it is that you've talked to us about today, oh, remove from us our stubbornness, our unbelief, and our excuses. Help us to come with open arms and hearts and say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Isn't that striking? All excuses set apart. Boy, when we're in the presence of God, there are no excuses. As a matter of fact, God will see through those excuses and get to the real motivation. That's just what God does. You know, if you're blessed as a result of these messages, or perhaps you've missed some, there's a way in which you can have them permanently. This series can be yours. It's entitled Getting Closer to God. And here's what you do. Go to rtwoffer.com. For a gift of any amount, these messages can be yours. Go to rtwoffer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Have you realized that so much of the Bible is biography? And the reason is because as we look into the lives of others, we see ourselves. And even though Moses saw God in a way in which you and I don't, the fact is that the same God works in our lives today, in the desert, in the palace, at times of success and in times of failure. I believe that these messages will be a great blessing. Go to rtwoffer.com
or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Thanks in advance for standing with us, because together we are making a difference. The series of messages is entitled Getting Closer to God, Lessons from the Life of Moses.
It's time again for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question you may have about the Bible or the Christian life. Are there sins that we can commit that permanently prevent us from having a public ministry? That's the question troubling Joshua, who asks, "Can a calling that the Lord has for a person be rescinded if they become ensnared in a sin like sexual immorality? I've carried the guilt of my sexual impurity for a long time, and I wonder if I can ever minister again."
Well, you know, this is an excellent question, and of course it's being asked by many pastors and Christian leaders, because if they commit immorality, they are wondering, can I go back into the ministry again? And I might say that the evangelical community is divided as to how we should answer that question. On the one hand, there are those who say, absolutely not. You get one chance at this, and if your credibility is ruined, your credibility is ruined, and you can no longer minister. Others say, well, let's be more redemptive than that. But considering your question again, as I look at it more carefully, you are asking whether or not your call is rescinded. Well, your call is something that God gave you, your call to the ministry. You were gifted, you were probably trained. The ministry was really the gift that God gave you. And now you've committed immorality, or at least at some point in your life you have, since your call was exercised. And I would say that the calling may still be there, but that doesn't mean that you can exercise it. There are plenty of men and women who have been called by God into ministry. The call was strong, it was persistent, it was proven by their abilities, but now they've disqualified themselves, and it may well be that you are among them. So, call or no call, the fact is that immorality disqualifies us to go back into the ministry. And now I want to add a different part of my answer. Of course it is possible that God may bring you back into ministry. I think that a person who commits immorality should be out of the ministry for probably years to come. There has to be a real proving of their character. But within time, if they are under accountability, it may well be that they can minister again. Probably not the way in which they did before, but it's possible that God may bring you back into the ministry. But here's my word from my heart to yours. Don't push it. Don't be anxious to get back. You let God do this as you humbly and patiently wait before Him, because credibility is the heart of Christian ministry. When we've lost it, it is very, very, very difficult to get it back. But that doesn't mean it's the end of the world for you. God has something for you to do. It might not be ministry, but God keeps working in us, using us, and blessing us, even after serious sin.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, for those words of counsel for Joshua. If you'd like to hear your question answered, you can go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Let this be the last day we hold on to stubborn unbelief. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded Excuses, Excuses, the second in a series of 12 messages about Moses, a man getting closer to God. Next time, Moses moves in a positive direction. Join us for Getting to Know God. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.